Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
You done fell right down that rabbit hole, so reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder, mayhem, tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Paul, and their dog Ninja.
And sometimes their cat, Freddy. But never the ferrets.
Hey everyone, this is NFL linebacker Avery Williamson, and you're listening to Hillbilly Horror Story.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 364 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
It's nice that you actually have a somewhat of a normal voice now compared to the last several times we've recorded.
I know, it's been terrible. I still have a little scratchy up in there, but I'm going to scream it out, you watch. I'm going to go outside at night, and I'm going to scream like a little banshee or something I get it out.
You think that's how that works? Just scream it out?
No. Makes me feel better, though, sometimes.
Tracy, we want to start off by thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks to all of you men, women, and service animals for everything you do every single day.
Every single day, you guys have our back. And we appreciate y'all so much. Always still saying a prayer for you guys. Thank you for keeping us safe and watching over us. And you guys, please, please watch over yourselves and be there for each other.
Absolutely. You know, Tracy, I was talking to somebody the other day, and it was about a 45-minute conversation, one of our listeners that really are struggling right now with a lot of things. And when I first started talking to them, they pretty much seemed like there was no hope whatsoever. You could hear the desperation in their voice.
Mm-hmm.
We talked things through, and by the time we got off the phone, there was hope in their voice again.
Great.
They were laughing and joking around, and we really didn't solve any of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But they now had the right attitude to tackle what they had to tackle, and that my whole point is, it does help to talk and get these things off your chest. You may not be able to have all the answers when you get through talking to somebody, but you'll at least have the right attitude to tackle whatever you got to do. I mean, you can't climb a mountain if you go into that with the attitude of, oh, I can't climb a mountain. Mm-hmm. You have to go in it with the right attitude that you can climb that mountain if you really need to.
Right, of course. And, you know, I know somebody with a situation sort of the same, and they've been going through a lot of stuff, but they didn't realize how strong they were until they had to go through it, because guess what? They didn't have a choice. And in that regard, it made them see how strong they were, that they could do it. They just have to take it a day at a time. And I'm so proud of them for doing that, because they really are, you know, kind of looking at the brighter side instead of all the negative. I see, it's what I said. You gotta just put that past behind you and move forward and tell yourself you can do what needs to be done because you're worth it.
You know, we've had that discussion, you and I, in the past about, you know, when especially like when someone loses a child mm-hmm. or something, you know, and you're like, I just don't know how somebody gets past that. And mm-hmm. I've always got the same answer. They don't have a choice.
Well, that's very true. They don't have a choice. And I mean, it's a sad situation, especially when you lose a child. And, you know, all you can do is just, you know, put one foot forward and just do your best. And eventually it'll still hurt, of course, but you'll get through it.
It's like the old saying about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Never heard that.
You never heard that saying? That's a pretty popular saying.
I have never, ever heard that. I heard about the how you know an elephant's been in your refrigerator. You can tell by the footprints in the butter.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh.
I mean.
Well, I tried. And why are you going to eat an elephant? Hell.
I'll give you. What do you want me to do? Put butter on it, obviously?
Yeah, well, without the butter, it's not any good.
It did that itself, self-applying butter.
Oh, man. So we just, you know, want to let you know that we are out there for you. The whole group is out there with you. Got, I feel like a bazillion people in that group, and it just makes my heart so happy. And there's somebody always out there, you know, that will respond to you day or night. So please take advantage of that. We would love to hear from you. You can also call the crisis hotline at 988. You can text at 741-741. And again, if you need to talk to Jerry or I, we can definitely give you our phone numbers. We would be happy to do that. But please, please, please reach out to us because we love you.
I want to say thank you to everyone for their positive thoughts, vibes, prayers, whatever you sent. I had my surgery. I say surgery. It's a procedure, but I guess it's a surgery.
It was a surgery.
Put me out and actually tore into my chest. So,
mm-hmm.
But I have a defibrillator put in now. Defibrillator. That's the hardest thing to spell.
Defibrillator.
I've tried to spell it 1,000 mm-hmm. times and I always mess it up. Anyways, big thanks to everybody. The procedure went well. And of course, we know it should have been routine, but we know that doesn't work well in my situation. So. Big thank you to everybody.
Yeah, thanks, guys, because honestly, without y'all's prayers and vibes and all that good stuff, I was going to have a hard time getting through it. But you guys came through as usual, and I can't thank you guys enough, you know, for keeping him in your prayers, because I ain't ready to let this turd go yet.
No, I'm a cash cow. But, yeah, I just want to say it was awesome to see so many people respond, ask how we were doing and all that. And I'm sore still, obviously, but feel fine.
So. And hopefully that thing will never have to be used. But if it does, I feel very good about that being there to help you. So, you know, but anyway, you guys, thank you again for that so much.
Tracy, we have a fun show tonight. It might be a little bit shorter because that procedure was on Wednesday. I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get the story written before that. So I did everything that you heard this week basically was recorded on Monday and Tuesday.
Right, right.
Beforehand. So the story might be a little shorter, but it may not be. It depends because sometimes I just judge him by how much of it I wrote. It seems like it might be a little shorter, but sometimes these things get carried into a little bit longer conversations than we think, and you never know. Tracy, we have a fun guest tonight, Jeremiah Bryan from the Bigfoot Society.
Oh, so cool.
For those of you out there to talk about, we never get anybody on for cryptids.
Yeah.
I bent some rules, made it happen. No, I'm going to make it a point in the next couple months to do more cryptid stuff.
Okay. Sounds great.
I need to come up with some cryptid stories, and I've got a couple that I'm working on, believe it or not.
I believe you.
But Jeremiah is cool. We met him at CryptidCon. Back in November,
mm-hmm.
and it's just taken a long time to get our schedule straight. I say that's with so many guests, and that's my way of saying that I forgot about it. And then I ran across a card or something or got a text and I'm like, oh yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's usually what happens when
I say that. Other people have lives.
But other people are super busy too. So it does take, you know, we usually try a lot right after like CryptidCon to get everybody on. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't happen right away, it's like I put it on the back burner and then I forget about it and they forget about it. And it is what it is.
It's true. And I'm excited for CryptidCon.
Yeah, me too. So this is going to be a fun one. We had a good conversation. He liked the questions I had for him.
Oh, good.
All right. Today, I thought it would be cool to talk about Mount Vernon. Now, Mount Vernon is in, hold your breath here, Mount Vernon, Virginia. And it was the home of the very first president of the United States, George Washington.
Well, la-di-da. I thought you were just going to say Mount Vernon, Kentucky.
No, there is a Mount Vernon, Kentucky.
I know.
There's probably a Mount Vernon in every state.
Every state, yeah.
Tracy, this place has tons of history and tons of ghosts.
Nice. The more, the scarier.
I like that. I see what you did there.
Thanks.
So we're going to cover some history of Mount Vernon, but our focus today is going to be on the paranormal. Mount Vernon is the name of the mansion that Washington lived in, as well as the name of the city, as we discussed. It's about 15 miles south of Washington, D.C., and on the bank of the Potomac River. Today, it gets about 1 million visitors a year.
Dang.
I don't know. It looks pretty damn cool. I'm going to go.
I bet. Well, maybe we will one day.
It's not that far. So.
It's not?
No. I mean, it's 15 miles south of Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh. I've never been there.
I think we can get to Washington in like 6 hours or something.
Oh, wow.
And I've never been to Washington, D.C.
Me neither. So.
Kill two birds with one stone. Everybody keeps talking about them cherry blossoms.
Oh, yeah.
So pick that time to go or something. I think it's cold, though, at time. I ain't trying to be cold. Back in the days, George Washington lived there. The estate, the gardens, the farm, and all that were part of Mount Vernon, and it totaled about 8,000 acres.
That's a bunch.
Yeah, it's nowhere near that today. Today, it's closer to 500 acres. And the property has been painstakingly preserved. So the mansion itself looks tremendously like it did back when Washington lived there.
Oh, how cool is that?
If you do decide to take a visit, you can see Washington's mansion and many of the other original structures. George and Martha Washington are also buried on site. You can visit their tombs.
So they just had their personal little graveyard, I guess?
I guess.
They just
got their tombs there. I think they might be the only two there.
Oh. That's nice and private.
Yeah. There's also a memorial dedicated to the enslaved people who lived and worked on the estate during the years.
Very nice.
You can also check out the Washington's farm and grist mill and distillery. This way you can kind of have an idea of his profitable business ventures. This is how he made all of his money.
Well, good for him. What's a grist mill?
Grist?
Oh, grist mill.
Yeah, it's like I think they grind wheat and stuff.
Oh, okay. Wheat for the beer?
I don't think they use wheat for beer. They can, but that's not what they would have used it for.
Oh.
They would have used it for, I don't know.
Bread?
Flour, yeah.
Flour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or cream of wheat.
I don't know.
I don't think they had cream of wheat back then.
They should have. It's good.
They probably did, though, because it's
to
get Quaker makes them. And Quakers were around that time.
Yeah.
All right. The George Washington Presidential Library is also located at Mount Vernon. Now, one thing I think is cool about this place is that they do not accept any local or federal grants and no tax money. Their primary source of income comes from their retail and dining facilities, ticket sales to see everything there, and generous donations from basically private entities, large companies, individuals, but everything comes from private and money they make themselves.
Okay.
So pretty cool. Mount Vernon is owned and maintained by the Mount Vernon Ladies Association of the Union.
They got something to do.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
It's the oldest National Historic Preservation Organization in the country.
Whoa, that's really nice. Something to be proud of.
There's approximately 500 paid employees at Mount Vernon and 400 volunteers.
Well, that's really nice.
That's a lot of people.
That's a bunch of people.
All right, so let's talk spooky stuff. Because there's definitely plenty to get into. For decades, there have been reports by visitors and staff at Washington's home of supernatural activity. In the early years of the Mount Vernon Ladies Association, when the ladies were up at Mount Vernon, they would sleep at the mansion. The story I'm about to tell you was reported in the New York World newspaper in 1890. It talks about the bedroom that George Washington slept in and subsequently died in, being the most interesting of all the bedrooms, as you can imagine.
Ooh, what was he doing up in there?
Up dying.
Oh.
And sleeping, I'm imagining.
I'm like, maybe he's having some fun activities.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't know what Martha, she might have been down for a good time.
Yeah.
His original four-poster bed was still in the room at the time that the story was written. Now, according to the newspaper article, there was little doubt that the bedroom was haunted. Many people had slept in this room in recent years, and several had said that they could feel Washington's spirit while they were in the room. They also said that there was no way that this was their imagination. Most were not able to get any sleep while they were in the room, and all felt that it was an eerie but positive experience. On one occasion, Miss William Beale and a friend of hers spent the night, and they requested the Washington bedroom. They had superstitiously lit a candle to burn throughout the night. It was placed in the middle of a basin of water. They were awoken by the candle sputtering. Thinking that they might have seen a ghost, the candle went completely out. They were both freaked out by this. Miss Beale looked at her friend and said, "You're on the side that Washington died." And she replied, "No, I'm not. He died on your side." They both decided that there was no sense in arguing about it and they were not going to be getting any sleep that night.
I'm sure not.
So they got up and they got dressed and they sat around until morning, scared by every single squeak that they heard throughout the house that night. At one point, they swore that they heard Washington's sword clank in the corner.
Oh, that's scary.
It might be scary.
It might be. What if he set off with your head for sleeping in my bed?
Well, you are on a roll today. In the 1980s, a woman stationed in the central passage that's part of the mansion said that she saw something that she wouldn't soon forget. She saw a woman dressed in 18th century clothing on the stairs. The figure was carrying a large punch bowl filled with a flower arrangement.
That's different.
Yeah. As they reached the bottom of the stairs, the figure disappeared.
Huh.
On another occasion, an interpreter... And let me explain, if I say interpreter, you know, I would normally think somebody who's translating language.
Yeah, of course.
That's not what they mean here.
Oh.
It's more that the interpreters here are like actors.
Oh.
So if it's like the like if you take a tour,
yeah,
the person giving you the tour is an interpreter.
Oh, yeah, I would never know that.
So just a little heads up. If okay. I say interpreter, I'm basically meaning like a tour guide.
Gotcha.
All right, in this situation, the interpreter was standing in the central passage. She felt something brush past her coming out of the little parlor. Now, she looked down all the hallways and areas, and all she could see was the feet and the bottom of the spirit of a young girl. She's wearing an 18th century dress, and she was running across the central passage.
Oh.
But it was only her lower half.
Ah, yikes. Well, that would be like the weirdest thing ever to see. I mean, it might not be as weird if you saw her upper half doing it, but when you don't have an upper torso and you just see legs and feet running, that would kind of freak me out just a bit.
I'd probably be half scared.
Nice.
One night around the 2010s, a few security guards were driving around the property. It was late one night. The guards saw a little girl on a path ahead of them. They suddenly stopped. Next thing they know, this girl is right beside them.
No.
The security guards quickly sped around and drove away as fast as they could.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least there was like two of them there to see it.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't think they're crazy or something.
This story involves an interpreter also on the Central Passage.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen a bunch of in the Central Passage already.
It sounds like. It must have been the happening place back in the day.
This was a particularly crowded day in the spring in the 1980s. This interpreter thought that she heard someone in the room right behind her. Her obvious thought was that a visitor had gotten in the area by going under the rope barriers.
Oh, yeah.
This was an area mm-hmm. where somebody wasn't supposed to be. She walked into the little parlor to try to shoo them away, and much to her surprise, she saw an older man who had a large mustache and clothes from either the late 19th century or the early 20th century. His sleeves were rolled up and they were secured with garters.
Well, that must be a new look.
I was trying to picture if I've seen that before.
I have never seen that. On a sleeve?
Yeah, I guess where you roll them up and maybe they're held, but I don't know what it attaches to.
No, I don't either. Well, that is really bizarre. I'm glad that fashion statement didn't stay around.
When the man saw her, he shouted at her. He said, "What the hell is going on here?" Now, this was in reference to the noise that a school group was making that was inside the house, just a couple of doors down. She looked at the man and told him that she would try to quiet them down, and then the man completely disappeared.
Dude.
She later saw a picture of the gentleman, and it was Colonel Harrison Howell Dodge, Mount Vernon director for over 50 years, all the way up until his death in the 1930s.
Oh, how cool is that? I'll be like, "Hey, man, what are you doing here?"
Here's another story. A head guard said that these incidents happened with great regularity all the way through the 1980s and the 1990s. Quite frequently, an alarm would go off in the stable. There, in about the time that it would take to put up a horse and walk from the stable to the mansion, an alarm would then go off in the Washington bedchambers. Guards would be dispatched, obviously, to check out the situation, and in every instance, there was never anything found out of the ordinary. The head guard said that he always just felt like that it was the general's way of coming home, making his horse comfortable in the barn, setting off the alarm, and then going up to his room, which would also set off an alarm.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I mean, how odd is it that you would have an alarm set off
mm-hmm.
in the barn and then one set off in his bedroom? In enough time for him to walk up there.
I mean, there had to be something to it for sure.
I mean, it's not like it's, you know, you could have two alarms go off at the same time or something.
Well, yeah, but
those particular two, it's uh-huh. a big place.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great. He still was caring about his horses.
Back in 2012, a member of the Mount Vernon Security Department had some unexplainable activity. It was his very first experience at the mansion that he couldn't explain. It happened during the early years of the what they called the candlelight tours. So that would be cool to do. They would just, you know, everybody had candles
mm-hmm.
and they walked through with the candles and that's the only light you had.
That would be awesome. Except for you have to worry about them blowing out all the time. Hang right. on up there, my candle blew out.
The event took place on the anniversary of George Washington's death around 10:30 p.m. The house had been completely cleared. So the guard locked himself in, which was protocol. It was his responsibility to check all the alarms to make sure that they were properly
mm-hmm.
you know, working and in the right position. When he was in the mansion study, he heard a heavy set of keys being walked across the floor in the Washington bedchambers. I like how they call it the bedchambers. Someone we'll start calling our room the bedchambers. You know that's where the term chambermaid came.
No, I did not. Guess that makes sense, though, now.
Now, this room, the Washington bedroom, was actually directly above the study where he was at. So it would be easy to hear these heavy keys. So he approached the back stairs to go up to the bedroom. He said the sound of the keys suddenly stopped. It was well known that General Washington carried a heavy set of keys that could be heard as he walked through the house.
That's cool.
The general's security Tobias Lear, took the keys from Washington's pocket upon his death in order to hand them to his enslaved servant, Christopher Shields.
I mean, even in the afterlife, he didn't need his keys. He could just walk through the daggone door.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe he walked through the wall. Comfortable unless he had his keys.
Maybe so, but you think you wouldn't want that heavy, extra heavy weight.
I don't feel comfortable leaving the house without my keys.
Oh, I know you don't. I know you don't.
Here's yet another story. A young woman who was a supervisor with the history and interpreter department, there's that word again, had an encounter in 2006. It was in the yellow room of the mansion. Supervisors had cleared out and locked the mansion, checking and rechecking that no one was in the mansion after hours. After letting the last person out of the study door, she actually walked up the back stairs past Washington's bedroom and into the yellow room. She suddenly felt herself being pushed, feeling the pressure of someone's hands on the back of her shoulders. She turned and looked. No one was there. It was obvious that she was not wanted in the yellow room. Now, this happened several more times, so she decided to not go back upstairs alone. She invited a co-worker to stay with her and venture back up to the yellow room. Nothing happened. Well, the next time when she went, she was, of course, alone. She was pushed through the room. Through the room.
Like continuously till she got out?
Yes.
Pushed her out?
Yes. She felt that it was best that she not go back in there.
She knows when she ain't wanted.
So she removed her shoes and went up the back stairs as to not disturb the entity.
I thought you said she was going to say she threw the shoe at him.
No, she instead crossed through the downstairs bedroom and through the central passage, and she locked the doors down there for the evening.
But you know that doesn't work.
Apparently it did.
Oh, I thought the ghost could go through the door.
And right on cue, Freddie decides to start knocking on the door. Also from 2006, there was a young woman that describes what happened to her at George Washington's tomb. She said it was Easter morning, 2006. She was scheduled to open Washington's tomb. It was early and very quiet. No, obviously, Freddie doesn't know what very quiet means. So he was right on cue with coming through the door, as we talked about coming through the door.
He was.
He was very loud when he talked about being quiet. No one was around. The guests had not made their way from the mansion yet over to the tomb. So she stood in front of the open door, and she saw what she believed to be ectoplasm in the far right corner of the room.
Nice.
When she moved, it moved. And I bet that was probably just an eye floaty.
Probably.
What it was. She watched as it became a blur in her vision. It continued to move around. She took a picture that showed a streak of light through the blur. The second picture she took showed the actual blur. As soon as she could hear the voices of the guests coming down the hall, the ectoplasm disappeared. This happened on three different occasions.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I don't know why Freddie all of a sudden became so vocal tonight.
I know.
He's never been so vocal.
All up in that story.
A member of the Mount Vernon Youth Program team had a startling experience. Her office was actually located in the Teachers Resource Center of the Education Center, which is now something they call B Washington, B-E Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It was after hours. The staff had already left. She grabbed her coat and purse, and she set them on the table facing her desk. She then turned to put her coat on, and she saw a female standing in the doorway of her office. She was dressed in Civil War-era clothing. She was totally gray, like her skin.
Wow.
It's like looking at something in black and white. Her clothing, her body, all gray. She stood in the doorway looking straight ahead, without moving. She had a very stern stare. It happened very quickly, and then she was gone. Now, this was no doubt in her mind she had been visited by Anne Pamela Cunningham. She was the founder of the Mount Vernon Ladies Association.
How cool would it be, like, if you were teaching a history class, and then all of a sudden you can make somebody, like, appear like that?
Like a hologram.
Yeah, and, like, give, like, a history lesson or something. And then just be gone when it's done.
That would be cool if we could do holograms for ourselves. We could do live events at, like, multiple cities per night. After her visit, she stayed a little longer, listening to cabinet doors open and close over in the hands-on history department. And of course, upon inspection, there was no one there. This is our last story. In 2017, there was a character actor. She had worked at Mount Vernon off and on since 2004. She had recently just returned off after a hiatus. The property was abuzz with the latest spooky story. Apparently on December 15, 2016, some strange sounds had been heard coming from the third floor. There had been reports of temperature drops by as much as 20 degrees.
Dang.
She was excited, hoping that she would actually experience these type of things. Again, on December 14th, the anniversary of George Washington's death, she was on the third floor waiting for something to happen, but sadly, nothing did.
Oh, dang. Well, that's a letdown.
However, when she returned the very next night, the vibe in the area had completely changed. Upon looking into the southwest bedroom, she noticed an electric candle on, and she thought, well, that's strange. That room was dark the night before. Mm-hmm. There was no candle on in there. Had someone came up and turned it on? Not likely. The third floor isn't open to the public. Then it hit her. George had died on December 14th, 1799. The next day, they shut up that bedroom, and they moved Martha down to the southwest bedroom. And apparently, she was marking the sad day by lighting a candle the day that she took over a different bedroom for the first time.
Oh, that's nice.
So
good
that
old
is
Martha.
The story of Mount Vernon.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on in there for sure.
So let's take a really quick sponsor break, and we'll be back to tell you a little bit about some upcoming shows, some things we're excited about, and then we will talk to our buddy from Bigfoot Society, Jeremiah Byron.
Sounds great.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
All right, Tracy, the next live show we got coming up. Buffalo was so much fun.
It was a blast. And so wonderful to meet so many cool people.
It was.
It was a lot of fun.
So we had a blast on that trip. And not only was that super fun, because I don't think we've been on here really since, because recorded our episode right before we went to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to say thanks to Tyler Allen for coming out. Of course, yes. Justin and Nick from Brohio. I got to sit in with Nick on Brohio's set because mm-hmm. We had a obvious no-show. Rob couldn't make it. He had a concert to go to. And so obviously he wasn't there, but I got to sit in. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
To say it was a lifelong dream of mine to sit in on Brohio would be putting it short. But no, it was a lot of fun. So I hope people actually who got to see it enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I know I'm not Rob. By any means, Nick and Rob have a rapport like mm-hmm. you just can't do, but I hope I filled in adequately.
I think you did a great job.
You're biased. but I want to say big thanks to Nick Snead.
Oh, yeah.
Nick was awesome. He had a lot of fun. And the people we got to meet that we hadn't been able to meet, I mean, Kyle and his wife, Christy, and obviously KK, and Mary and Laura. I mean, they're all from Canada, so that was fun to be able to meet them. There were so many people, but I wanted to give them special attention because we hadn't had an opportunity to meet any of them yet.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And the DeForces, their son, actually gave us a picture, a magnet to put on our refrigerator. That's a picture in his Hillbilly Horror Story shirt in his kickboxing.
Yeah, that was so cool. Very cool.
I got to FaceTime him a little bit. Tracy, I think, got tied up and we got started for something right afterwards.
Yeah.
So we get a chance to get on. Yeah. I got to talk to him for a little bit. So.
Yeah, that was really special. And we appreciate that so much, honey.
Next show is our 7-year anniversary show, our birthday. And it's going to be August 19th on the outskirts of Detroit Rock City to quote Kid Rock. This is a beautiful place. This place is, I think, if I remember, I think Sarah said there, it's about 30 minutes from downtown Detroit. So it's, you know, but it's suburban Detroit. So it is still technically the Detroit area. But this next show has been selling like crazy.
I know.
And Rob will be at that one. So you get a full crew there. And Sarah will be emceeing this one. She's helped so much in getting this set up out there. This place supposedly is like on a lake and everything's supposed to be beautiful. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to get to see everybody.
We'll probably go up a day early and get some time to see Lake Michigan and all that. We just got through seeing Lake Erie, so we'll go see a different great lake.
Yeah.
That's the only two great lakes I've ever seen.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I've not seen Lake Superior or Lake Huron. So, a lot of fun. So we can't wait. So that'll be a blast. Then we've got, what do we got? We got the Bell Mansion with Justin Rimmel, September 2nd. Those tickets are selling out quick. There's only like 27 tickets left.
Oh, good.
Period.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one as well.
That's got the investigation. It's got the tour. It's got the live show. And we're going to pick a winner from whoever buys tickets between now and like 2 weeks before the event. We're going to draw. And one lucky winner, them and a guest, will get to spend the night with us in the mansion. And this isn't something you can usually spend a night at. It's not like a hotel.
No, that's right. We've been very fortunate to be able to do this.
And then we've got 18 tickets left for our Gatlinburg show September 30th, which is our personal wedding anniversary.
Yes, it is. And I can't wait for that as well.
You can get tickets for all these things or just find out more information about each one of them, details about dates and all that at hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
Get your tickets.
Yeah, go get your tickets. And you can find out more about the Hillbilly Horror Story / Brohio Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
September of 2024.
Yeah.
Which may be the only live thing we do in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But there won't be many. I can guarantee that. All right. Tracy, what do you got going on over there?
All right. For our iTunes, we have Worry Dez, Brandyland 86, Susan Bowman, you sent us a very, very cool story. We appreciate you doing that. And our good old Mojo Lobster, which we are very much looking forward to meeting in Detroit. And then our Patreons this week, we have Kim Brown and Kaylee Jean. Thank you guys so, so much for your patronage and supporting. We appreciate all of y'all so much.
Yeah, and is it Susan Bowman? That's not the story? Mm-hmm. We're going to read that story. That'll be on this coming week's Eerie Encounters.
Sounds great.
So we didn't get to it on this show, but I'm going to make it part of that because we got a couple of stories that were sent to us that I want to use on Eerie Encounters.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
With that being said, this is a fun fact. I realized that if we sold just 100,000 books, that we could make a very nice profit off of it. So if anybody wants a book, you can go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com and there's a link that for $20, we will personalize the book and send it out to you. And that covers your shipping and everything. So it ends up being about the same as what it would cost on Amazon with shipping, except you get it personalized. So
yeah, that'd be nice.
And even if just 50,000 of you, you don't have to be 100,000. I'm just saying, we're not greedy by any means. But anyways, we're excited to be able to meet you guys at some of these other events. It was our first time in Buffalo. It's going to be our first time in Fort Wayne, our first time in Detroit. Or where is it, Tracy?
Detroit. No, I'm not going to say it.
she's been saying Detroit.
I don't know why.
But yeah, I've got a bunch of special stuff working up for being our birthday anniversary for that show for Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
All right. Let's bring on Jeremiah Byron from the Bigfoot Society. That's a YouTube page and a podcast.
So oh, nice.
Both. Yeah, so you got both on there. But fun times with Jeremiah. Let's give it a listen. Hey, guys. Don't get to bring on too many guests talking about cryptids and Bigfoot. And I guess technically Bigfoot is a cryptid. But we don't bring on a lot of guests talking about cryptids. And so when I get an opportunity, I do want to do that. And I've got Jeremiah Byron on the phone. And, you know, we actually hooked up at, well, that sounds bad. We actually met. But we actually met at CryptidCon back this past November. And his show sounded fascinating. We gave it a listen. We really liked it. And it's different than a lot of the Bigfoot shows that are out there. And I thought it'd be fun to bring Jeremiah on so we could talk about his show and talk about all things Bigfoot. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely, Jerry. It was nice to meet you down there in Lexington at CryptidCon last year. And thanks for having me on.
And you're out in, is it Iowa?
I sure am. I'm out in central Iowa, a little bit west of Des Moines. And just in a nice little small country town, and it's a good time. So we enjoy it.
So I always kid around about Bigfoot that, you know, I believe in Bigfoot. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that there are cryptids out there of all different types, but it's just something that's not as fascinating to me. So occasionally I'll run across a story in the same way with UFOs. You know, if they came out on the news tomorrow and said, here's your proof, this is exactly what we had, and here's these ships that they say that we had, I'd be like, yeah, I kind of figured that. And that'd be the end of it. And okay. I'm the same way with Bigfoot. If they found Bigfoot and they actually captured one and put it on, I would be like, man, that's pretty cool. I'm glad they finally did that. And that'd be the end of it for me. So,
wow. You wouldn't really you wouldn't have a, hey, we found Bigfoot day. Like, you'd just be like, whatever, I'm going to have
to. Oh, I would talk about it on the show, be something, but like, you would probably talk about that incident for weeks at a time to where probably I would have one show about it. Right. So tell me about your show. Tell me what sets your show apart from some of the other Bigfoot shows that people would be listening to.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that is a really good question. So currently what sets Bigfoot Society apart is, so I talk to people that are Bigfoot witnesses. That is my goal, to talk to these witnesses and to help them realize they're in a safe and respectful environment and just be able to get stuff off their chest. It's not like a gotcha type of thing. And a lot of times through this show, you know, I have a lot of people on where they've talked, it's like their first time sharing what's happened to them. And then other people will be listening to the show and they'll send me messages and they're like, you know what, because of what this one guy said on your show, then I remembered something that my mind had buried deep that I didn't want to remember, but it brought it back. And it's a thing where there's a lot of people at the end of the interview where they'll say, you know what, in 20 years, tonight is going to be the first night where I can actually go to sleep. So, it's weird because Bigfoot Society started as a show where I would talk to people about cryptids and it would be for whatever, right? And then over the last few months, I was like, man, I should really lean into this Bigfoot thing. And then just started talking to witnesses. And it's fascinating when you talk to someone that has had a genuine encounter, how raw and emotional it can get. And the things that you hear, my goodness, there are some things that people have experienced over the years that I've been able to talk to them about. I've talked to a retired police officer who was on vacation in northern Michigan, and he was at a family cabin, and it's a wild interview because he has to go out and use the facilities, and this Bigfoot steps out of the woods right next to the outhouse, and they just have a stare down, and he pretty much draws his weapon on the Bigfoot, and they have this like this back and forth, and he talks for an hour about like how he made it through that night and how it was just like he's just sitting by the front door ready for something to come in through the door. It's just these crazy stories. I mean, after talking to these witnesses, there's no doubt in my mind that there is what I think is an undiscovered great ape out there in the forests of North America. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You hear people all the time talk about, well, I mean, I just don't understand with the technology today, with all the cell phones that we got, and everybody's got a great camera on them all the time. You know, why every time there's a picture of Bigfoot, it's always blurry or it's not a good picture. But, you know, it's easy to say that. But like I was trying to take pictures the other day. I had a chipmunk in my house that got in the house. And, dude, I've got a modern phone. And I took a couple pictures outside of him. I took a couple pictures inside. And not a damn one of them turned out worth anything because it was fast. It was trying to move on me. I was trying to hurry up and get the camera going before it was probably ready. You know, and you get a little bit of movement in there. If I can't get a picture of a chipmunk in my house that I know is there and I'm kind of waiting on it, how can I expect somebody that randomly sees something like a Bigfoot to pull their phone out in the spare time that the short period of time they have and actually get a perfect picture of it?
Absolutely. And couple that with when you see something like a Bigfoot in the span of a few seconds, and I haven't seen one yet, but in a span of a few seconds, your entire paradigm is shifting in your head. And it's like, what's that? What does this mean now? What does this mean? And there's no way you're going to be like, oh, I got to get my phone out and take a picture. Well, yeah, that's you're not freaking your out. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, it's stupid that's what but that's legitimately what I thought about after I looked at these pictures of chipmunk. I'm like, no wonder people can't get a good picture of Bigfoot. And then when you do get a good picture, oh, well, that's gotta be fake. You know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation because, you know, going all the way back to Patterson-Gimlin film, I mean, people are still debating on whether I watched a video the other day that was somebody had just done like about 3 weeks ago where they had blown up the picture and they're like, and the head alone was bigger than a billboard. That's how big mm-hmm. they were able to fill in, I guess, all the dot matrix and stuff. Cause you know, when you get these things and you try to blow them up, it just is so distorted. It looks bad, but this guy was able to blow it up and actually fill it in. So it looked, you know, like it should even at a bigger version. And he was showing that there's no way that this thing was fake based on what you could see when you blow it up to that size. So they're exactly still comparing the thing.
The photos, you know, and videos that are coming out now, it's so crazy, like with current AI. And, you know, I use AI to make the graphics for my channel. So just throwing that, if you see my thumbnails, those are not real pictures of Bigfoot. Those are made by AI. But you got to be careful, like when you're watching these shows where they're like, we used AI to take this picture of the Patterson-Gimlin film and make it even better. Well, you got to remember, like, AI is adding stuff to that photo and it might be making it look like something that wasn't even there to begin with. So, I mean, we got to be careful with utilizing this tech, and it's just some weird, weird stuff coming out of it.
Where do you stand on the Patterson-Gimlin film?
So, personally, I think that, it is legitimate. You're going to get some stuff out of me on this one. So, you know, I'm not a guy like Daniel Perez where I've spent like hours and hours and hours researching it. But from what I have read so far, I just get the feeling that this was an actual like legitimate experience that happened to Roger and Bob. And from the interviews I've watched with Bob Gimlin, it's just, I don't buy the whole like Bluff Creek massacre thing. That doesn't line up with what I see from the evidence that's been gathered over the years from Bob Gimlin's interviews. I don't buy that, dude. So yeah, that's me taking my stand on that, which no one has gotten out of me so far. So
there you go, man. I don't believe in the whole Bluff Creek massacre thing either. I mean, first of all, you got all this talk about all this quote unquote film that exists that nobody can seem to find and nobody can seem to prove exists. And anytime you start, you know, going above and beyond what you know is there, you got to start questioning authenticity.
Just also the fact, like, if you want to, you can dig in really deep and look at all the things that the Bluff Creek Project has done, and all those guys like Tate Hieronymus and all those dudes out there, and they've been able to, I mean, they've proven the film site, proven so many different things. It's you can get deep into the Bluff Creek stuff. I hope to get out there someday. It's just I've gotten many, many different invitations to go out there, but I just don't have the time yet. So one day.
And I had one of my favorite shirts that I ever had was a Bluff Creek shirt with a picture of a Bigfoot on it. And I left it in Point Pleasant in a hotel when we went up there for one of our live events right around Mothman time. And I left it up there and it made me so mad. Mm. I was like, damn it. If it wasn't 5 hours away, I'd drive back up and get it.
Wow. I can't imagine only being 5 hours away from Point Pleasant. That would be amazing, man.
You know, what's amazing is the fact that where we live, we are so centrally located that
I know.
I mean, within 5 hours, I can't even tell. I mean, within 5 hours, we're in Chicago and all that stuff that goes on there with Resurrection Mary. You know, we're within, pretty close to Ohio State Reformatory in that range. Of course, we got Bobby Mackey's and Waverly Hills within an hour and 15 minutes either way of us. You know, then we're 3.5 hours from Nashville and all the stuff. You know, the Bell Witch Cave and all. So yeah, we are right in a spot to where anything paranormal wise, I mean, we're there. You know, within 5 hours.
Wow. Oof. Yeah, that's some wild stuff. I'm almost strictly a Bigfoot guy. It's the paranormal stuff kind of freaks me out, but it's fascinating. But I mean, the furthest I go into it is probably like, you know, I used to watch some Ghost Adventures and stuff, and I know that, you know, probably if it sounds like you're honestly like going into researching it, so it's a whole different level when you're talking about places like that. But man, the Bell Witch Cave stuff does sound fascinating from like the Small Town Monsters doc on it. It just seems like a really fascinating place.
That's actually my favorite paranormal story of all time was the Bell Witch story. Mm. It's fascinating, but you know, it's crazy too. You know, it's who knows what happened down there, but there's a lot of, that's one of those that, you know, you can go pretty deep into as well.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I have not. That's okay. One that I actually tried to do a live event. There's an old school that's been turned into a cafeteria down there in that area. And we were going to try to do a live show there and then actually everybody take a tour of the cave and all that. But it never happened. That would have been about 4 or 5 years ago when that was trying to happen, but. So what do you consider Mothman? Do you consider Mothman more paranormal or do you consider that cryptid?
That's a good one too. It's been a while since I've thought about Mothman. Let me think. So I Mothman to me is a cryptid. I'm not thinking of it as a paranormal. It just, and I don't really have much to back that up, but just from, like, you know, the very basic research I've done about it in the documentaries I've watched, stuff I've read, things like that, it seems like a cryptid. Now I can kind of see how people could easily think that we've got something paranormal or like something from an alternate universe. Like you can go really wild for Mothman stuff. And, you know, I've talked to people even in the Midwest about, like, Mothman's not just in West Virginia. Like there's sightings that happen out here in Chicago or even up in Wisconsin, which is crazy. You know, like people, I'll leave it at people seeing something on their property and then something running around on the roof of their house later that night, like really weird stuff, man. I don't know. The most fun Mothman theory I've heard, and I got to throw this in, is, so our big cryptid out here is the Van Meter Visitor, because I live like 20 minutes away from Van Meter and we have a festival. And every year there's a person who is like, what if the Van Meter Visitor, after he gets chased into the cave, he just goes through the cave system and then shows up like years and years later in Point Pleasant, Virginia, West Virginia, and then it's the Mothman. And then everyone's always like, well, if you look at the description, it's not even close, but it'd be a fun theory, right? But both winged cryptids, but Mothman's a little bit crazier, and I think of the Van Meter Visitor as like more like a pterodactyl. So,
well, and also, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going back on memory here, but the Van Meter, weren't there at one point, wasn't there like three of them in that cave at some point?
So there, near the end of the story, there were two. There was a adult and what they said was like, it looked like an adolescent, because they chased it to the cave on the far side of town. There's the posse from Van Meter. They had had enough. They'd been messed with the whole week. They chased it out there, and the newspaper said, with enough firepower to sink the Spanish Armada. So this posse was packing, the bullets would not hurt the visitor or the smaller visitor. And they disappeared down the cave. Now people like, there's certain documentaries that have, you know, tried to find the cave and all that good stuff. But, people are listening and they're in the Midwest and you've never been to that festival, you should check it out. It's not only just about the Van Meter Visitor. We talk about Bigfoot. I'll be presenting this year. I haven't announced this yet, but I'll be presenting about Bigfoot in Iowa. They asked me to speak again. So it's a fun little Midwest festival. It's good stuff.
I know we had Josh Hurd on a couple of years ago he was getting ready to debut his documentary there at the festival. It was either last year or the year before. And I think it was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. He came on the show and was talking a little bit about it. And, you know, we've covered it obviously on this show a long time ago. Cause it's a cool story, you know, because there were so many people involved in that, witnesses that were, you know, reputable people. I mean, they were doctors and, you know, lawyers and all that. And I just thought that it just made the story that much more credible.
They were guys that had a lot to lose. They were like the town fathers. They were the business owners. So they were reputable people in the town. And like, they all had their weird little experiences with the visitor. And it's just, it's such an interesting, you know, right now, the town has not, you know, they have a festival, but they haven't gone full Point Pleasant where there's a statue yet, you know. Hopefully we'll get there in the future. But it's just, it's an interesting, fun story. And the thing about Josh's documentary I like is, like, it starts out as they're investigating the visitor, but then it turns into a UFO thing too, which is really interesting, because some people think there's a theory where it's like, well, maybe there's ley lines that intersect underneath Van Meter, because there's like, so there's UFO sightings, there's a Van Meter visitor, there's a story about that was told me from somebody in the town where there was ghosts that were seen, I believe, in the school. And then also a lady in white would be seen walking the streets of the town. Just like really weird stuff in this super small Iowa town. Well, right now it's town. Right now it's small, but it's starting to grow up pretty big in the next few years. But it's a weird place, man.
So you wish you were within 5 hours of Mothman. I wish I was within 20 minutes of Van Meter. So it's just it just goes to show that we've all got stuff close to us. I mean, you've got all kinds of stuff out that way that, you know, that I've never been to and haven't been close to, like, you know, the Axe Murder House. I mean, I would love to go out that way. And we won't even get started on all the stuff on the West Coast, from the Queen Mary to the Winchester Mystery House to, you know, the Alcatraz. There's all these places that I want to go that we're so far away from over here.
You know,
I'm like 12 hours away from Salem. And I want to go there, but we're still like 12 hours away from there or so.
Some of the best advice I ever received on the podcast was, I want to say I was talking to Lyle Blackburn, and he was like, what you need to do is you need to figure out the weird stuff in your town or in your region, and you need to become the expert of that. So not, you know, it's okay to wish that, you know, you could go to like Mothman if you live in Iowa. But there's weird stuff in Iowa. You got to figure out what the weird stuff is and then just dig into it and make sure that it's properly covered and become the expert on it. And I was like, man, that's some of the best advice I've gotten so far. Lyle is such a cool dude.
Yeah, he is. I've not had the opportunity to have him on the show, but he is a very cool dude. Well,
that's a good interview if you can do it. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to throw this one at you since we already talked about Bluff Creek.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on Abe Canyon?
So I'm very good. I would say I'm very good friends with Mark Marcel. We talk a lot, and he's a gentleman who, you know, he pretty much, uncovered again the story of Abe Canyon and actually found the area, where the cabin was. You know, in the story, there's the miners that go up to this place called Abe Canyon. And pretty much the summary of the story is they're in this cabin and like weird stuff starts happening, and pretty much all these Bigfoot show up out of nowhere, and they're just like chucking rocks at these this cabin, and they barely get out of there alive. So pretty much the cool thing is that Mark was able to find the actual spot of the cabin. And this is because he's a surveyor, so he's very knowledgeable to do with different land records, stuff like that. But also, like, I want to say he found different artifacts in that same exact area. Want to say maybe even bullet shell casings. But it's a fascinating story. One of the best Bigfoot stories, and one that can be backed up with historical references. And Mark has actually gotten to talk to relatives of the miners that are still alive. It's just, he's got a very cool pamphlet about the Abe Canyon incident. It's hard to get, but if you can get it and you're into Bigfoot, look up Mark Marcel on Facebook, see if you can get a copy. It's pretty sweet.
You talk about pick something out and become an expert. That's what Mark's done when it comes to Abe Canyon.
And the dude isn't stopping there. He's looking at all these these Bigfoot attack stories and just digging deep into historical records and like mining records. And just, he's literally finding out where these things actually happened. And the cool thing is he's starting to go around to, you know, he was at CryptidCon, the same one that we met at. So mm-hmm. if you are able to go to a conference and Mark Marcel is speaking, please, if you like Bigfoot at all, you need to make sure that you listen to Mark's presentation, because it is fascinating. And he's had a really cool encounter year and a half ago. And I've interviewed him about that on Bigfoot Society as well. But just a really, really cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get a hold of Mark. He's another one I need to get on the show. So
he's so nice.
All right, we're going to end on this one.
All right.
I'm going to put you in a corner here.
Oh, jeez.
All right. A lot of people, we hear these missing 411 stories. You know, there's a lot of speculation that there's some strange things going on in our park systems. And in some of those stories in the past, there have been talks about possible Bigfoot that, you know, have been maybe killed, but then the proof isn't there because the government agents were called in. And then you got missing people that some people think, well, maybe that's got something to do with Bigfoot and the government's covering it all up. What is your thoughts about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, however you want to term it, and the national park system? Do you think there's anything to any of that at all?
Well, yeah, that is a good one. I love those stories where it's like the national park system was created because we're hiding something. And it's like, maybe it's not even Bigfoot. Maybe Bigfoot is like the nice kid in the playground and you don't want to know about the bad kid in the playground who is like the pale crawler, you know, that guy. And maybe that guy is in the caves underneath the national park. There are just some, you know, there's a story of I believe it's the young male child that went up missing at, I believe, is a national park, and he was found weeks later. And his story was that, I believe it was like a large bear protected me, something like, and it's just, you hear mm-hmm. stuff like that and you're like, there's no way you can explain stuff like this away. You know, I don't know. I will say this. I think the government knows more about Bigfoot that they're letting on. I mean, just look at all the UFO stuff that's coming out, and I just can't wait until it's Bigfoot disclosure time. You know, it's because the Bigfoot people, we're not pushing hard enough. The UFO people, like, they're pushing hard. That's why they're getting stuff. We're not pushing hard at all. So I could see how there could be Bigfoot stuff happening in the national parks, just because there are these immense remote areas. And I've talked to a gentleman who is a miner on the backside of Yellowstone or Yosemite National Park. And he was in his old school Boy Scout tent, and I mean, he had a Bigfoot messing with him one night. So yeah, there's plenty of stories. You know, these things are definitely around the national parks. Now, I don't know if I am on board with that's why they were created, but I mean, just look at tourists when they go to Yellowstone and they're messing around with buffalo. I mean, right. You gotta be careful when you mess around with nature. So don't mess around with the Bigfoot. They could come out and get you too, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, there was a story here in Kentucky. I think it might've been Pikeville, Kentucky, where the guy was talking about the Bigfoot was coming up on his porch and eating his hot dogs, his frozen hot dogs out of his freezer that he kept on the porch.
That's awesome, dude.
I mean, sometimes you just got to have a hot dog. I mean, it is what it is.
Maybe that is the ultimate bait for a hot dog, or for a Bigfoot, is to have a hot dog. Have a hot dog with you. I should tell Tate when we go out. I'm going on another expedition in Iowa this August. Maybe I'll make sure we have hot dogs with us this time.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You said, that's the ultimate bait. So
it is.
As long as that's not illegal to bait Bigfoot. Jeremiah Byron, a host of Bigfoot Society. And of course, that's a podcast and a YouTube page. Tell everybody how they can subscribe and find both of the platforms.
Absolutely. So if you like listening to interviews where I'm talking to people that have had Bigfoot encounters, they're super intense, head on over to YouTube, search Bigfoot Society. Also, any major podcast platform, you can search for Bigfoot Society. If you go to BigfootSocietyPodcast.com, that's where all the links are. And I would love you to join in on the fun. We're figuring out what Bigfoot really is through the accounts of people that have actually had encounters with Bigfoot. So yeah, it's a good time.
It is. It's a fantastic show. And as I always tell people, go listen to the podcast. Once you've listened, leave a review and let them know that you heard about them on Hillbilly Horror Stories, so they know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you heard them.
Totally.
So, Jeremiah, it was awesome, brother. And we'll have you back on again, because I've got much more questions.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. This has been a great time.
So that was my Kentucky bad English. Instead of many more questions, I've got much more questions. So if I don't pay attention, my Kentuckian comes out. Trust me.
I love it. I love it, man.
All right, brother. It's been a blast. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You have a good one, Jerry. Nice chatting with you. See you around.
All right, guys. That wraps it up for us this week.
We just want to say thank you guys again so much for your support. We love you more than you'll ever know, and we appreciate you guys. Thank you for hanging in there with us all these years, and I hope we have a lot more years to come. And hope y'all have a blessed week.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters.
On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Amen.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.